referred in a combined public hearing. Decisions of the commission were separate, as they would be required to be. Last Friday, I forwarded a packet to council. Packet included a report of the commission record for the public hearing and their decision. Commission held public hearing on February 26th of 2009. Rendered their decision on June 11th of 2009, and the council held public hearing on March 24th of 2009. Attached to my report was a memo to council referencing the record being left open until April 15th of 2009 by the council for written comments. And then attached to that is all the correspondence received. They included letter from Mark Baker with attachments, a letter from the Milton Fire Department referencing they could provide service, a letter from Noble Prettyman, and a letter from Kevin Burdett, both in support, and then approximately 78 or 80 letters or emails or faxes that I received or the council office received in opposition. That is the report that was forwarded to you last week. For the record, in reference to both applications, when the commission discussed this application on June 11th of 2009, there was a statement made by Mr. Burton, and he referenced both applications. He stated that he would like to make some comments on both of the applications prior to making motions. Stated that, as you know, both the applications have received a lot of attention, that he has given them a lot of thought, that most of the concerns are centered around the possible uses of the property if it is rezoned to heavy industrial, that he was concerned about that at first, that he has looked forward to further into what is permitted versus what would still require another public hearing before the Board of Adjustment, that he is a lot less concerned. If the property is rezoned, the uses that would be allowed without further review included uses permitted in the light industrial district, also included banks, clinics, data processing centers, farms, general business sales, heliports, hotels and motels, testing and research labs, nurseries or greenhouses, parking garages, private clubs, professional offices, and restaurants. That none of these uses are objectionable to him on this property, that he would likely vote to approve any of them individually if such an application was before him as a conditional use. That all of the rest of the possible uses still require a further hearing before the Board of Adjustment if they are potentially hazardous uses, or even if there is any doubt about whether there are potentially hazardous uses. That given the interest in these applications have received, he suggests that even the slightest doubt about a proposed use should require the applicant to appear before the Board of Adjustment for approval of the use. That at the Board of Adjustment, the public gets an opportunity to participate and comment again upon the specific proposed use, and the Board of Adjustment can approve the use, deny it, or approve it with its own conditions on a particular use. And that after considering all of this, he is going to make motions on the application. Mr. Johnson agreed with some of Mr. Burton's comments and referenced specifically the possible rail spur, that Route 30 is a designated truck route, that the applications have the support of the state and county economic development offices, and that jobs will be created. Mr. Smith agreed with the comments of Mr. Burton and Mr. Johnson and referenced specifically the rail spur and the truck route, that the Board of Adjustment will perform additional review of some of the uses that are required by the zoning code, and that the zoning offers job opportunities. Therefore, in reference to change of zone 11661, the application Wayne Baker to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to an HI1 heavy industrial district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, for land lying west of Route 30, 2,300 feet north of Road 319 and being south of the railroad, and to be located on 9.03 acres, more or less. the commission discuss the applications. Mr. Gordy stated he would not be participating in the discussion on this application. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone 1661 for Wayne Baker for a change of zone from an AR1 agriculture residential district to an HI1 heavy industrial district based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the location is appropriate for HI1 zoning. The property is located along Route 30, which is a designated truck route, and DelDOT is not opposed to the rezoning. It is also adjacent to an existing rail line with a proposed spur line accessing the property. The property currently has a conditional use for an existing fuel storage, sales, and transfer facility. On the other end of the site, there is a large state emergency operations tower. Two, HI1 zoning is appropriate since the zoning code states that the purpose of the district is to provide for a variety of industrial operations, but to restrict or prohibit those industries which have characteristics likely to produce serious adverse effects within or beyond the limits of the district. Three, the rezoning will promote the local economy and will create jobs in the area for Sussex County residents. Four, the applicant has stated that there are few other properties available for industrial uses in Sussex County. Five, the property is in a developing area according to the county's comprehensive land use plan. Six, the Office of State Planning Coordination does not object to the rezoning. Seven, while an HI1 zone has many possible uses, there are only a limited number of uses that are permissible without a further hearing in front of the County Board of Adjustment. These include uses permitted in the LI2 district, banks, clinics, data processing centers, farms, general business sales, heliports, hotels, research labs, nurses and greenhouses, private clubs, professional offices, and restaurants. All of these potential uses are appropriate for this location. Eight, under the HI1 zoning, if any other possible uses is potentially hazardous, or if there is any doubt as to whether it is potentially hazardous, there will be another public hearing on the particular use before the Board of Adjustment. The Board of Adjustment cannot approve the particular use unless it finds that the public's health and welfare will be protected and that there are safeguards to protect area waters, property, and people. The Board of Adjustment decides to approve such a use, it can also add its own conditions and limitations to address the particular use. 9, the HI1 zoning with the safeguard of having further hearings limiting potential uses will not adversely affect neighboring or adjacent properties. There was a motion, a second, and carried with 4 votes to forward this application to County Council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons stated. That motion carried 4-0 with Mr. Gordy not voting. And that's all I have on change zone 1661.
Mr. Griffin, I believe you need to address the situation. Mr. Griffin.
Yes.
This is not the public hearing. The public hearing obviously is closed. This is old business. There's not going to be an opportunity for public input, so we would... It's certainly duly noted that you're present and the signs that you've held up and that you are against it. But just wanted to mention that.
Thank you. Does the council have any questions for Mr. Lank?
Mr. Lank, I heard in this recitation that there will be another public hearing if it's determined that there are uses that would be dangerous. How does that come about? Who decides
the ordinance that? Lists a specific number of permitted uses.
Mm-hmm.
It also lists a specific number of potentially hazardous uses,
right,
which require Board of Adjustment approval.
Who says so? How does that get triggered?
The ordinance triggers it. When someone comes in with an application for something, if it falls into that category of that list, it goes to the board.
So once it's zoned, though, anything can happen under the permitted uses.
Under permitted uses, exactly right.
And if the owner of the property then decides to do something that is only permitted under conditional use or this type of thing, Who's going to know that what they're doing? How do you watchdog that? How do you know what
we have to review the site plan for anything that comes in, whether it's commercial, business, or industrial.
What if you didn't get
them? We have to review the site plan for what their intended use is.
Well, what if you didn't get a site plan and it just and that type of operation just happened?
They would have to be so violated for doing that activity without approval.
But who would know what they're doing?
It would have to be reported to us, or we'd have to observe it.
The community would have to watch.
Basically. Or we'd have to observe it by staff. But typically, and what we see is something before it happens, it comes in on the site plan, but it has to be reviewed through the staff and the commission in most cases for consideration of the site plan, which relates to the use intended, the parking, the loading, the building setbacks, and et cetera.
Well, I don't know that some of these things would really even show whether they'd switch over to some of this. I don't know that you would have to have a site plan.
Well, typically, if you had a building that already exists, building code for the county, the fire marshal, and DLDOT get involved just by your changing use automatically.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes to at least four different agencies for that purpose. And if you change the use, the parking has to be relooked at, for example, to verify that the parking's in compliance.
Mm-hmm. If we know about it, yeah.
True.
Because, yeah, and the place could be sold, so if it's rezoned, then we wouldn't know who it was.
We would know that it was sold, but not knowing what they were going to do until they did something.
Right, but right. I mean, they could do different things than what this applicant's planning to do. Okay.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're considering is the rezoning, not the specific use.
Okay.
Any other questions for Mr. Lang? Mr. Cole?
Yes, I got some. The rail spur.
Yes.
Not the rail spur that's proposed. The rail line.
Right.
I was going through the testimony, I saw a reference, and I can't remember exactly where it was from, but somebody maybe in the from Milton area referenced that the rail line is actually being converted to a nature trail, or is it part of a green trail? And was there any testimony on the status, the long-term status of that rail line as we were going through the both hearings? I don't remember it in front of
no
our
one
hearing.
From the state or no one from the rail provide any comments, major comments, as far as the rail.
Are you at all in your capacity as our planning and zoning director aware of anything about that rail line? Is it active? There was reference that you can only go 2 miles an hour.
The only thing I've heard and haven't seen it myself personally that the rail crossings at some of the streets within Milton have been abandoned and removed and paved over. But I haven't seen it personally, so I've
Okay. Is there anybody using that rail line at this point, do you know?
Not to my knowledge. I've seen rail cars parked, and for length of time, even where we questioned why they were parked there.
Right, because the applicant wouldn't have control.
Agriculture areas, basically, but they were parked.
If the rail line is 20 miles long till it junctures into somewhere else or something, whatever. In other words, the applicant's not going to control the rail line and who owns it and all that stuff, right? Does the state own it at this point?
It is owned by a private.
Still owned by private
sector.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we don't know. Okay. That was one of my questions. The building heights in the LI district, HI district, is same as everything else in the county?
No, it varies on some of the uses. Some of the uses are very limited, unlimited heights almost.
Unlimited?
Because of stacks on chimneys, et cetera.
Okay.
It varies.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
typical height in any other zones, typically 42 feet, except in the industrial district.
Yeah. The follow-up, I think, on what Mrs. Deaver was talking about the if there's any doubt. Now, these aren't conditions because we can't place conditions, right? So, Jim, maybe you might, if there's anything that tweaks your interest there, but the number 8 where it does reference if there is any doubt as to whether it is potentially hazardous. Now, by who? I mean, I'm the same way as Joan is. I mean, who out there is determining that process? It'd be nice, but
to Mrs. Deaver, it's staff. It could be someone reported it and questioned it.
But I'm just saying
Or at the commission level when it goes in for site plan review.
No, I'm trying to get at, Lawrence, is that there is a list of permitted uses in the HI district.
Right.
Okay. And then there was concerns by Mr. Burton, and he had made a comment that if there's any doubt as to whether this use is potentially dangerous, will require a board of adjustment hearing. I don't know who triggers all that, because who's going to determine if it falls into this category that there's a little doubt? And unless it's, if it's a listed potential lead, if it's listed and somebody thinks it's potentially has, like the heliport, I see it's a permit.
There's a list of, in the code.
Right.
Under HR1, there's a, in 115, 110, there's a list of permitted uses, and there's probably all those items that are red. They were listed.
Right.
Okay. But then there's another list of following uses and any similar industrial use, which throws in the similarity, but you can't list them all.
Right, that's okay. Exactly right.
Which are not likely to create any more offensive noise, vibration, dust, heat, smoke, odor, et cetera. Okay? Then there's a list of those. And there's probably 25, without counting, it was about 25. Okay. Then there's another list of under 115.11, potentially hazardous uses that is almost two pages that list specific items that are
but
uses that are potentially hazardous and are required to go to the board.
Okay, but
we have to go by that list, basically.
I know you gotta go by exactly
four similarities.
You gotta go by the list or similarities, and I'm just wondering who is sitting there around figuring out. I guess the board as a group figures out if it's similar and it, but anyway, it sounds to me like it's a judgment call on somebody somewhere to say that even though it's there's all these listed uses and whatever potential is, if there's any doubt as to whether it is potentially hazardous. So it sounds to me like if somebody says they want to put a heliport, which I've got a guy who's trying to do that down my area, and they are could be construed to be as potentially hazardous. Okay, the board would have the board. Somebody could say somebody. Wait, could the commission say if they want to do a heliport, we want to require a hearing on that?
Permitted.
No, it's permitted. Right?
It's permitted.
That list of items that I read twice into the report
are
listed items that are permitted uses. There's no
permitted
reference to the board at all.
Heliports permitted.
Non-referral.
And we don't have the ability to strike different uses in an HI district or an LI
not
district.
Permitted uses.
Only in a conditional use. Now, then that would be my last question. Is a conditional use available for this council to use in this situation?
It could have been.
Could have been, okay.
But the applicant chose to apply for
right, but it was... It
could have been a conditional use. They have a conditional use for the facility that they already have on premise.
Okay.
And it's their intent. If they were to expand that facility, they would go before the commission and ask if they could change some small portion of the use or add to it some of the use that they already have on site.
And we talked about...
The commission could approve or disapprove. Right,
and we talked about sunsetting earlier on, and we do only allow sunsetting in... sunsetting in ordinances or zones, or no, sunsetting of subdivisions only.
And RPCs could be.
And RPCs are questionable, but right. But the only thing we actually buy ordinance is the subdivisions.
Right. Well, if you had a conditional use and you didn't develop it like we had that today also,
right,
it could run out.
But a change of zone like this does not run out.
No.
It stays
you own
forever.
The property, you run with the land.
Forever, yeah. Okay. So
any other questions for Mr. Lank?
I have a question, Mr. President. Mr. Burton at the commission, according to your report, he read his thoughts, or he gave his thoughts on this. Is it appropriate for me to do that? At what point would I do that? I have some concerns.
When we take the vote, you may make your
concerns. I can
concerns.
Do that.
For or against, right?
Okay, good. Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Lank?
Mr. Lank, sure. The permitted uses are the ones that actually come out of LI 2 district.
There's a list of permitted uses in LI-2. There's also a list of permitted uses in HR-1.
Right.
So include all those uses in LI-2, which is mm-hmm. the right picture.
Yeah.
Anything in an LI-2 is permitted.
Anything in LI-2
LI-1,
would be
LI-2.
Permitted. And again, there is a three-page list.
Right. And mm-hmm. and in our code, 115-110, mm-hmm. Item C, it does not, as Councilman Cole's question, doesn't say who, but it does say where any doubt exists as to the nature of a proposed use, product, or process, the proposal shall be considered as a potentially hazardous use and referred to Board of Adjustment.
Right.
Okay.
So it would be the commission who would be determining if it is potentially.
It would be whoever the director is at that time or the commission.
Or the director.
Okay, so you could do that.
The director could.
Uh-huh. Yeah. If a site plan is submitted.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be based on complaint. And if we established that it doesn't meet the criteria, then they would have to be violated and required to go to the board.
Okay.
May I say something?
Mr. Griffin.
Also, the minutes reflect that, I believe, a statement by DelDOT that they would require that the user of each of those pad sites would have to get a letter of no objection from DelDOT for each parcel prior to final site plan approval being given by Planning and Zoning Commission, and that entrance plans would have to be developed in accordance with DelDOT's rules and regulations before they would issue any of those pad site users an entrance approval.
Okay.
That's normal.
Right, but that only relates to
the... How does that relate to this?
That's a further check on the ability of somebody to start a use there without getting governmental approvals, both from DelDOT and the commission.
Yeah, but that has to do with the entrances. Doesn't have to do with particular...
I think your hypothetical assumes that someone will establish a rogue use without any application or notification to the county. I think with the system in place, they're going to come in with a site plan. Mr. Lank's going to see what they're proposing. He's going to be the gatekeeper to send it to the Board of Adjustment. That's really how the statute would
work. That's how it should work, but most of our, it seems like a lot of our zoning is after the fact here in the county. You know,
it starts,
and then we violate them, and then they get zoning.
In this case, it's a vacant property other than the existing facility, which is the one application.
I know, but what I'm saying
is... They won't have anything on that site unless they have a site plan.
We're putting the burden on the community to follow up and watch.
No, I have staff that watches also, but there is it helps to have the community watch. We don't mind our participation.
Any other questions for Mr. Lang?
You got the EPA watching.
Oh yeah, Lawrence. The status on this HRRPC. What was the on our?
That's part of Elizabethtown.
That's where it comes all the way up there.
Yep. It wraps right around Pemberton. Probably said that wrong, but it's something like that.
Pemberton.
Yeah, it's right. Elizabethtown wraps around the back side of it.
Mm.
North and west, east side.
I didn't realize it came up that far.
Yeah, that's the south portion.
We
have not received a preliminary application for that site plan yet.
It's HR, it's a high density residential, right, up in that corner.
If there are no further comments or questions for Mr. Lank, I'd ask Mr. Griffin to read the title.
Do you have the title of that, Lawrence?
I'll read it.
I'm not sure. Would you read it? I don't think I got that.
Oh, the actual ordinance, yeah. This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agriculture residential district to an HI1 heavy industrial district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 9.03 acres, more or less.
I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Have a motion to approve?
Yes, sir.
CZ-1661, is there a second?
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second to approve CZ-1661, application of Wayne Baker. Is there any discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Okay. This goes back to the former council, actually. According to the records at the hearing, this was actually opposed by the state because it was in level 4. And then the applicant went to the council and asked to have the property put into the county's growth area. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Lank. But and then it was done at a council meeting, but there was no hearing on that. The land was put into the county's growth area, made part of the comprehensive land use plan update, and then certified by the state, but there was no hearing. And this project is in an area that has an impaired watershed, and in particular Wagamans Pond. It has a proposed rail spur, which tells you, I think, that it's going to be for heavy industrial uses. And I'm not against industrial parks, and I think they're great, but I just don't think it's in the right place. some of the manufacturing, compounding, processing, and packaging that's permitted under all of these codes are LI, LI, LI2, and HI. These are permitted. Manufacturing of boats and hardware, firearms, machinery, iron products, tool dies, machinery and hardwood products, sheet metal products, rugs and other household textiles and fibers, manufacturing of furniture and other wood products, agriculture or farm implements, aircraft, aluminum extrusion, building materials, cigars, cigarettes, cleaning and dyeing of materials, heating, HVAC supplies and appliances, pharmaceutical drugs, products and drugs, plating, plumbing supplies, medical and dental equipment, electrical equipment, and other equipment. Now, other processes allowed are poultry processing, abrasive wheels, stones, adhesive, asbestos products, concrete products. Now, they're allowed are helicopter airports, sawmills, filling stations, hotels, research labs, blacksmith shops, exterminating establishments, blending of insecticides, fungicides, disinfectants, and other industrial and house chemical elements, kennels, seafood processing, packing and storing, meat products, packing and processing, industrial and vocational training schools, including internal combustion engines, tire retreading, recapping, and vulcanizing, trailer and truck body assembly, and freight truck and transfer terminals and storage sheds, and under a conditional uses. Now, I'm assuming that that's what would go to the Board of Adjustment would be airports, bus terminals, and borrow pits. Under exception, special exception uses, they could be granted by the Board of Adjustment now. Asphalt or concrete batching plants, rifle or pistol ranges, but only for a period of up to 5 years at a time. Hazardous uses that could be approved by the Board of Adjustment are atomic reactors, radioactive waste, petroleum and gasoline and oil handling, auto wrecking yards, asphalt products or central asphalt mixing or batching, cement, lime, gypsum, or plaster of Paris, cotton ginning and oil refining, fertilizer manufacture, fish curing, smoking, fish oils, and meat, forge plant, foundries, incinerators, junkyards, slaughtering of animals, grinding and crushing, processing of minerals and earth, manufacture of linoleum and other hard surface floor coverings and matches for cigarettes, paint, oil, shellac, turpentine, or varnish, refractory, rendering and storage of dead animals, offal, garbage and waste products, wood preserving treatments, stockyards, and finally, distillery. If these things did go to the Board of Adjustment, I can't guarantee this community what the board is going to do. We appoint those people, but that's it. That's where it stays. You know that. We can't make them vote the way we want. You know, there are many communities of people who are very concerned about the Board of Adjustment recently, and I think we do have some problems. I can't depend on them. The only thing I can do to protect the community at this point is to vote against this. It's too unpredictable. They're not protected, and they haven't been served well.
Ms. Deaver votes no. Mr. Vincent.
Based on the recommendation of planning and zoning and the fact that this CZ-1661 is where the Baker oil business is, and in visiting that property, riding by there and looking at the site, it appears to me they've spent quite a bit of money there. So I can't imagine they're going to pick up and move somewhere else and do something different with that property.
You don't know that.
I'm going to vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes on the recommendation of C&D.
Mr. Cole.
Just due to the fact that as I looked at the maps and I there's a couple of things I didn't realize, like I didn't realize the Elizabethtown had come out that far and stuff. So I see that there's been recently substantial residential growth, and it's recent in this area. My only other concern I had was that there's a lack of info on the viability of the rail lines. It slipped past me until I read just one little note here that the railroad lines may not even be viable as a as a reason to maybe support this application. And I don't believe the applicant supplied any rail line type of information from the railroad people, and I don't believe anybody did. So there's just a lack there. Also, I'm concerned when in building heights. You got building heights that with no limits. I don't think that's a very good situation. So the AR district is typically referred to as a dual district. It's a dual use zone where you have low density residential and agricultural uses, and I don't believe the HI one is compatible with that area. And I believe a conditional use, which is what the applicant presently has, would have been more appropriate. It's something I could have easily supported because of the positive impacts on the economy, and it would not have been maybe detrimental because we could have then controlled the uses more so that they would not have a negative effect on the current residential uses that presently exist. And you know, there's just a lot of little things in there that I think it's, maybe it's not appropriate. So my vote would be no.
My vote is yes. This application has found the proper location to put this zoning. It's rare in this county to be able to find a location that is far enough away from the current population, but not so far out into the country that it is objectionable to the ag community. In this case, I believe it's very evident by the testimony and the findings by the planning and zoning that it's appropriate. And it even, which is also rare, meets with the approval of the Office of State Planning and Coordination. Motion carries. Mr. Lang.
Yes, the next item is change of zone number 1662. The application of Wayne Baker to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to an HI1 heavy industrial district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, for land lying west of Route 30, 1,200 feet north of Road 319, and 300 feet south of the railroad to be located on 19.02 acres, more or less. I previously read Mr. Burton's comments and Mr. Johnson and Mr. Smith's. They are a part of the record and they reference both applications. On February 26th, the commission deferred action on June 11th of 2009. Mr. Gordy stated he would not be participating in the discussion. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone 1662 for Wayne Baker for a change of zone from an AR1 agriculture residential district to an HI1 heavy industrial district based upon a record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the location is appropriate for HI1 zoning. The property is located along Route 30, which is a designated truck route, and DelDOT is not opposed to the rezoning. It is also adjacent to an existing rail line with a proposed spur line accessing the property. The property currently has a current conditional use for an existing fuel storage, sale, and transfer facility, and on the other end of the site there is a large state emergency operations tower. Two, HI1 zoning is appropriate since the zoning code states that the purpose of the district is to provide for a variety of industrial operations, but is to restrict or prohibit those industries which have characteristics likely to produce serious adverse effects within or beyond the limits of the district. Three, the rezoning will promote the local economy and will create jobs in the area for Sussex County residents. Four, the applicant has stated that there are a few other properties available for industrial uses in Sussex County. Five, the property is in a developing area according to the county's comprehensive land use plan. Six, the Office of State Planning Coordination does not object to the rezoning. Seven, while an HI1 zone has many possible uses, there is only a limited number of uses that are permissible without a further hearing in front of the County Board of Adjustment. These include uses permitted in the LI2 district, banks, clinics, data processing centers, farms, general business, sales, heliports, hotels, research labs, nurseries and greenhouses, private clubs, professional offices, and restaurants. All of these potential uses are appropriate for this location. Eight, under the HI1 zoning, if any other possible use is potentially hazardous, or if there is any doubt as to whether it is potentially hazardous, there will be another public hearing on a particular use before the Board of Adjustment. The Board of Adjustment cannot approve the particular use unless it finds that the public's health and welfare will be protected and that there are safeguards to protect area waters, property, and people. If the Board of Adjustment decides to approve such a use, it can also add its own conditions and limitations to address the particular use. And 9, HI1 zoning with a safeguard of having further hearings limiting potential uses will not adversely affect neighboring or adjacent properties. There was a motion and a second carried with 4 votes to forward this application to County Council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 4-0. Mr. Gordy not voting.
Any questions for Mr. Lank? If not, Mr. Griffin or Mr. Lank, would you like to read the title?
I'm sorry. This is an ordinance to amend a comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agriculture residential district to an HI1 heavy industrial district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 19.02 acres, more or less.
Make a motion to adopt the ordinance.
Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion second to adopt the ordinance CZ-1662. Any discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
My vote is no, because what this is going to do is devalue the neighborhood that's right across the street from this. And, of course, it'll increase the value of the subject land. However, this applicant was under no pressure to purchase this land. And this kind of zoning allows way too many opportunities for a disaster. I vote no.
Mr. Vincent?
I got a few comments. Industrial parks are something I have a firsthand knowledge of. I lived in 300 yards of one for 30 years, and there's been no problem there. The city of Seaford Industrial Park has one vacant lot left, and that's it. It's filled up. There's chemical operations in there. There's all kind of facilities that manufacture things. It's a very one well-run operation. There's houses on at least on two sides of it. I can assure you it has not decreased my property value. This is on a truck route. There's a rail spur possibly going to be there. Anything that's going to be considered dangerous has to go before planning the Board of Adjustment. And no one knows what's going to be there because it's not anybody come forward and say, I want to build something there. I also know from previous experience that if you don't have land zoned properly for people to use when they come looking for a place to relocate a business or move a business, it is too late. You've got to have the land then or you lose the opportunity. It's going to create jobs. Planning and zoning recommended. I vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Well, I received a letter from the across the street from this business. Highly recommended me to vote for this. So he wasn't quite concerned that maybe some people live 4 or 5 miles from it. So on recommendation of planning and zoning, I vote yes.
Mr. Cole.
I'll vote no for the same reasons as the previous rezoning by this applicant.
My vote is yes, based on the recommendation of planning and zoning, based on the fact that this will provide jobs and economic opportunity for this county at this time, based on the fact that Office of State Planning Coordination does not object to this. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Lang.
Thank you.
Ms. Webb, I believe it's your
turn. Thank you. The first grant tonight, Cape Girls Lacrosse Boosters.
Are they? I think they're your girls, Ms. Deaver.
You have any money?
Still have any money yet.
Still haven't got any money.
She's got another week.
I'll make a motion we defer for a week.
Defer it till I get some money.
2 weeks.
Two weeks.
Now you're going to go down to July 21st.
I'll make a motion we defer.
Okay.
When is the banquet, does it say?
The banquet?
That might be a critical situation.
Just lend her the money. We'll vote it back into your account once.
When is it? Well, hang on a minute. How much are they requesting?
You circled $100 for the blue for a picture. This isn't a banquet.
This is
it says banquet
this is
expenses.
This is.
Oh, sorry. That was at the very last sentence of the whole thing. The banquet, yeah. This is like a team picture. It goes to support the Ross, the program.
And what are
the
levels of support?
50, 100, 250, 500. But we'll you highlighted 100. So
who did?
Somebody did.
Oh, okay. I'll make a motion that we give 100. We'll give 250.
from Mr. Cole's account. Is there a second?
I'll cover.
Second motion.
I have a motion and a second. Give $250 from Mr. Cole's account to Cape Girls Lacrosse
yes.
Boosters. Any discussion? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Thank you. The American Red Cross.
Is there a representative of American Red Cross here?
Yes, there is.
There he is.
Ms. Deaver said she wanted representatives of organizations, and now she's done left you.
She has indeed. good evening. My name is Daniel Valley.
I know why, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Chief Executive for the local Red Cross of the Delmarva. We serve, as I've stated previously to this fine body, the entire state of Delaware and six counties on the Eastern Shore. We're having a banner year. As you can imagine, disasters come when disasters choose to come. And we're right on track to hit about 175 to 200 incidents this year, which is just about on track. The interesting thing, though, is that that doesn't necessarily capture the expense because it's related to the family composition and actually the number of family members in those 175 to 200 incidents is actually up this year. Our direct expenses related to disaster are actually up about 12% so far this year. Here in Sussex County, we've had 28 incidents as of the end of May, which is the last time we actually captured our numbers. Our fiscal year ends June 30th. That's 114 people, direct expense right in the range of about $21,000. That does not include the first 3 weeks of this month, including last night in Millville, where we had a fire that included one adult, three minors, and standard Red Cross assistance for food, clothing, and temporary shelter. We've additionally trained about 1,250 folks in life-saving skills and community disaster education here in Sussex County so far this year. We have been here before previously, asking for your support as a community partner. Our organization has been going through some fairly difficult times, as one can imagine. I heard it said earlier about a unfunded mandate. We actually are maybe an original unfunded mandate going back to 1905 when Congress said, please go forth and do it, but they didn't give us any money to do that. We historically were very, very reliant on the United Way. We still get approximately about 20% of our funds that way. We get about 6.5% through government support of varying stripes, including your own, and the rest is really directly from the country at large. All of those variables, the same as yours are down this year. Overall, our income streams are down anywhere from 15 to 30%. We appreciate that it's been a difficult year for everybody concerned, but if we could get any support from the council, we'd very much appreciate that.
Mr. Cole, yes.
Can I ask a question? We've had many times in the past get criticized for giving to organizations and the money can be spent elsewhere. Is there a way we can earmark this money for Sussex County?
Yes, sir.
We can. That's the,
you
that's
can.
The key
it
question.
Will, it will be.
And that was the right answer.
Yes, sir.
That's all. It's because we
no, I appreciate that. And
we
and
try to make sure that what we give stays.
And I have that question any place I go. And I the reality
that.
Is because I am not a jurisdiction of one county, I need to be able to make that assurance.
Okay.
What is your administration percentage cost?
Administration overall, and I have the figure only nationally, sir, it's approximately 7%. It's 93 cents on the dollar that goes to direct assistance nationally.
Much better than American Cancer Society, isn't it?
I'm in no position to make any comparative judgments, sir.
Better than the consulting
I
contract.
I can't say that we have reduced our expenses. And, in fact, one of the challenges we have in explaining to people that we're actually present in all of our counties, because we don't have offices in all of our counties.
I don't know.
We go to people where they want to be trained, where the disaster is, or if it's an emergency for the U.S. military, we do that by phone. So we actually come to people. We don't have them come to us.
So most of them are volunteers?
1,200 plus at last count and 21 paid staff.
George, you were good and you voted against.
Awesome. I know the Red Cross has a goal of $10,000 today. I will ask the motion be made to contribute $5,000 from my account, and then I'll open the floor to any other suggestions.
I'll second that motion.
Could you contribute a little bit toward this goal of $10,000?
Well, I'll contribute $1,000.
Okay.
Where'd you get that number, Ben, Mr. President?
You're giving $1,000, $5,000 that is.
I'm giving $5,000 for mine.
I know, but what's the $10,000? Where did that come from?
I believe it was in a letter that I saw.
Oh, I didn't know that there was a number.
I'm sorry, Ms. Webb.
I have $1,000, do I, Lee?
You got $32,000.
Okay.
I don't think there is an amount specifically in this letter. It did talk about the number of homes.
Yeah, there was a communication between me and, I believe, Linda Messick, who was
one of our board of directors. And I believe that was based on last year's contribution.
I think last year we may have.
And that will go to Sussex County.
Yes, it will.
Mr.
We can do that. Okay. I'm sorry, you got a motion somewhere?
I've got $5,000 for Mr. Cole, $1,000 for Mr. Vincent.
No, I'll give you $2,000.
$2,000 for Mr. Vincent.
And I'll give $2,000.
And you'll give $2,000.
So you got your
$10,000. All right. I have a motion and a second.
Second.
To give $10,000 to Red Cross to be used in Sussex County in the amounts as articulated by council. And is there any discussion?
I want to say thank you for coming. And I'm going to ask that in the future that people that ask for this precious money, this taxpayer money, also come and explain to us what it is they're doing. I appreciate you being here, and I'll vote yes.
She'll have $30,000 come July 1st. So come on back.
Don't come back.
We've got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, no.
Ms. Deaver votes yes. Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Thank you.
We really appreciate your support. Thank you very much.
The Dagsboro Boys and Girls Club.
That's in my district. I'd like to give $500 if somebody would.
Second. I'll make a motion.
Second.
Motion and second, give $500 from my account to the Dagsboro Boys and Girls Club. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Indian River Senior Center.
Make a motion, give $1,000.
From your account?
Yes.
Second motion.
Second motion. I have a motion and second, give $1,000 to Indian River Senior Center. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Any additional business brought before Sussex County Council? As Mr. Guy is coming forward, I would like to ask the council. I'm sorry.
I don't have any ordinances.
I didn't think so. Yeah. If there is no objection, we voted earlier on the appointment of a planning and zoning commissioner. Talking to the chairman of that board, they asked that there be a brief transitional period. If there is no objection, I'd like that appointment to take effect August 1st. Is that satisfactory, Mr. Griffin? Okay. Nobody is on for additional business, so we will excuse to executive session for personnel. Could I get that motion?
So moved.
Second.
A motion second. Go into